we are going to be discussing the U.S. EPA's announcement earlier today regarding the finalization of the new source methane standards. And my name is Melanie Houston, and I'm the Director of Oil and Gas Policy for the Ohio Environmental Council. I'm going to begin our press conference today and with some general statements, and then join several other speakers will join me with their remarks afterward. So as many of you may know, methane is the primary component of natural gas, and it is also a significant contributor to climate change. If unburned and leaking from pipes and equipment, it is actually much more impactful on a pound-for-pound basis than carbon dioxide. And the oil and gas industry emitted more than 9.8 million metric tons of methane pollution in 2014, and this is according to the latest inventory released by the Environmental Protection Agency. This makes the oil and gas industry the largest source of methane pollution in the United States. And this wasted resource is enough to heat nearly every home in Ohio. That's why we're so excited today that the Obama administration has finalized standards that will reduce methane pollution from new and modified sources in the oil and gas industry. These standards mean new equipment will have to operate more efficiently, and communities and workers will be safer and healthier. This is good news for Ohio's environment and economy, and for the health of all Ohioans. Ohio took action on a proposed policy to require quarterly inspections at oil and gas operations earlier in April, and so state leaders here in Ohio know that it makes sense to reduce these leaks. Now we'll hear from speakers who will talk about the importance of these standards for our economy, for public health, for climate change, and for the environment. The finalization of this EPA standard on methane for new and modified sources is a positive step forward toward curbing emissions. And the next logical step is to move forward quickly with standards for existing sources, which actually make up the bulk of the methane pollution in the oil and gas industry. So we look forward to working together with the U.S. EPA, elected leaders, and our allies across the labor movement, citizen and public health groups, and our environmental friends to support these common sense standards. And at this time, I would like to introduce to you Dr. Peggy Berry, who is a certified occupational health nurse specialist, to make some further statements. Go ahead, Peggy.
Thank you. Good afternoon. During natural gas gathering, transmission, production, and processing activities, the nation's energy sector wastes the amount of gas it takes to heat nearly 8 million homes. The waste isn't bad enough, but to make matters worse, when methane leaks from the oil and gas industry, other dangerous compounds are also released. Methane from the oil and gas industry comes packaged with other pollutants, called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, which are key ingredients in the ground-level ozone, also called smog. In addition, these leaks release a number of pollutants known as air toxics, such as benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, and xylene, which are dangerous to human beings. Ozone is linked to a variety of serious public health effects, including reduced lung function, asthma attacks, asthma development, emergency room visits and hospital admissions, and early deaths from respiratory and cardiovascular causes. Air toxics are suspected to cause cancer and other serious health effects. As a healthcare professional, I know that the best way to treat any disease is to prevent it in the first place. These standards will ensure workers and communities are not impacted by ozone or VOCs in the first place. We applaud the Obama administration and the EPA for moving forward with these standards for new and modified source, and look forward to working together with the other groups on this call, as well as our elected leaders and other allies in supporting these common sense measures. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. And at this time, we will hear from Don Bryant, Council Member at Large from Mansfield, Ohio. Go ahead, Don.
Hello, good afternoon. So when it comes to protecting workers and the people that live in communities near oil and gas operations, we have to think about what's best for us both in the short and long term. That's why I support these standards that for new and modified sources that were finalized today. They will both be good for the short term, protecting workers, reducing pollution in our air, and safeguarding the health of our families, and in the long term for our economy and for our climate. The EPA's methane standards are actually key to achieving the administration's goal of an economy-wide reduction of up to 45% from 2012 levels. That means less wasted gas and energy doing what it's supposed to, powering and heating homes and businesses. Fixing these leaks at new and modified oil and gas facilities will have a positive impact on our economy by reducing waste and deploying American-made advanced technologies. So in 2020, EPA estimates the proposal will have economic benefits of $200 million to $210 million, which outweigh industry implementation costs of between $150 and $170 million. The net benefits here are estimated at $35 to $42 million. In 2025, EPA estimates the proposal will have climate benefits of between $460 million to $550 million, which outweigh industry implementation costs of $320 to $420 million. Net benefits are estimated at $120 to $150 million. Now that these strong guidelines for new and modified sources are in place, I believe standards for existing oil and gas facilities should be the next step. You know, existing oil and gas equipment and the gathering, transmission, production, and processing stages are expected to account for 90% of methane leaks and emissions by 2018. And at this time, we will hear remarks from Joe Halcom, United Steelworkers District 1 staff representative.
Hello. Upgrading industry practices and outdated technology means better working conditions and stronger job opportunities for frontline oil and gas workers. Unionized workers are qualified to identify and repair leaks, implement methane-reducing technology, and have strong training and qualification programs that ensure upgrades and repairs are done safely and efficiently. Doing this voluntarily won't cut it. Low-cost solutions already exist to plug the industrial gas leaks and power more homes and businesses. However, most of the industry has failed to adopt these safeguards. For example, studies show that energy sector could cut the emissions and leaks using current off-the-shelf technology by up to half in 5 years at a cost of less than 1% per 1,000 cubic feet. That's a fraction of the percentage cost of the market price. A small price to pay for the protection and health of safety and workers, their families, and our communities. Upgrading these facilities offers a significant opportunity to expand growing industry, producing leak detection technology, and make the energy sector much more efficient. I would also like to say that the union members, I care very much about the world we live in and for the next generation. Climate change has impacted our environment and our economy, and we need to be decisive action now. These standards are a positive step in the right direction. These standards are needed. They are common sense. They will help create and support quality jobs for workers, and will protect workers on the job. They will help our nation address climate change, and I'm proud to be here today to support them.
Let's now hear, thank you, Joe, so much. Let's now hear thoughts on the methane standards from Fly Fisherwoman Liz Parker.
Hi, good afternoon. As a conservationist and fly fishing enthusiast, I'm here today to support the EPA standards to reduce methane emissions in new and modified facilities. Ohio's 1,000 metric tons of natural gas from leaks, which can be cost-effectively reduced with off-the-shelf technologies, many manufactured in this state, and improved industry practices. That's the equivalent to the energy needed to heat 8,500 homes, Ohio homes. The potential impacts may be much higher, since most Ohio energy activities are not required to track methane emissions. I care deeply about the environment and protecting it for future generations. Climate change is real, and it is a threat to the way of life of people like me who enjoy fly fishing and other outdoor recreational activities in our state. Additionally, climate change poses an increasingly dire threat to wildlife, communities, and public health. Changes to our climate are projected to destroy essential wildlife habitat, cause habitat and species ranges to shift, increase incidence of pests and invasive species, decrease available food and water, change the chemistry of the ocean, and increase the rate of species extinction. Many of these impacts are already occurring. Many wildlife species are struggling to adapt, and some never will. America's rich community of fish and game is at risk from a warming world. We should not be wasting resources like natural gas, nor should we allow this pollution driving climate change to go unrestrained. The standards finalized today will help us reduce that waste and ensure that companies do the right thing by their workers and the environment. We are the first generation to see the effects of climate change and the last generation that can take action to solve it. That's why I'm supporting the Obama administration as they take decisive action to solve climate change now. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz, for those remarks. And next, I'd like to introduce Laura Burns, a mother of two and a former biologist.
Thank you. As a former biologist and a member of Moms Clean Air Force in the Ohio region, I am so grateful that today the Obama administration finalized a standard that will reduce methane pollution from new and modified sources in the oil and gas industry. This means new equipment that will operate more efficiently. It also means more protection for the families and industry workers from the chemicals that impact their health. The oil and gas sector has made progress to increase the efficiency of our natural gas systems in recent years. But actively leaking methane continues to harm our economy by wasting resources. Worse, the leaks contribute to climate change. Methane is 84 times more powerful than carbon dioxide as a climate driver following its release. Climate change is real, and it is encouraged by human activity. And right now, we are already experiencing the consequences. Ohio's energy sector alone wastes an estimated 13,000 metric tons of natural gas from leaks that could be cost-effectively reduced. We can use the safety technologies that are manufactured right here in Ohio and improve industry practices to mitigate the release of methane gas throughout the entire process of producing natural gas. This would in turn not only protect our communities, but stop the waste. The finalization of this standard by the EPA is a positive step toward curbing methane emissions. Ohio parents are delighted to see that our elected leaders and the EPA are working together with labor, citizen, public health, and environmental groups to support these common sense standards that ultimately protect our health and well-being. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura. And finally, I would like to introduce our final speaker here before we open it up for Q&A, Maida Sanchez, Executive Director of the Ohio Sustainable Business Council. Go ahead, Maida.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Ohio's economy has benefited from the surge in domestic energy production in recent years, both from low energy prices and in manufacturing of the equipment for production. We can also benefit from the effort to reduce methane emissions in the industry. Ohio has over a dozen companies operating in 16 facilities across the state that produce leak reduction technologies, and these technologies can make energy activities safer and more efficient. In fact, Ohio ranks ninth among states in the methane mitigation industry. The bottom line is that cost-effective solutions to reduce methane can be built here in Ohio. While the energy sector has made progress to increase the efficiency of our natural gas systems in recent years, leaking methane continues to harm the economy and the environment. While many companies are investing in durable, more efficient, and less leak-prone equipment to help their bottom line, many are not, and voluntary methods are not enough to get the job done. Stricter rules like these methane standards are important. Leaking methane is leaking profit, so reducing waste of the valuable energy at every stage of production makes business sense. Implementing these cost-effective technologies can result in capture of more than 80% of the gas currently going to waste. Tackling climate change is smart business strategy, whether through growing clean energy or energy efficiency or through reducing methane waste, it will grow quality jobs in Ohio and help build a strong economy. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much to all of our speakers here today. And if you can stick on the line with us here, we'd now like to open this up for a question and answer session. And my colleague, Cheryl Johncox, the methane organizer for the Sierra Club, is actually going to lead fielding and directing questions at this time.
Thank you. And if you have questions now, I'd be happy to direct them towards the appropriate speaker.
Yeah, this is Tom Henry at the Toledo Blade. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Tom.
I wanted to, I get the, the benefits that you're, saying that will occur. Much of what I heard seemed to be, general benefits that could occur anywhere, helping the environment, helping, the economy makes sense to close down the leaks. But could you tell me, as much as you know, how specifically this would these rules affect Ohio? Is it something that is going to be mostly for fracking operations or for natural gas plants or for major manufacturers? Who do you think is who are some of the winners and losers from this? But specifically, where and what parts of Ohio are likely to be most affected, geographically and also by energy sector?
Okay. Thank you for your question, Tom. Laura, would you like to answer that question? I know you've been talking to folks in impacted communities.
Well, thank you. It was a good question. And the people in Ohio, our health really suffers. We have far too many children who have asthma. But aside from that, the adults deal with respiratory disease, heart disease, increased numbers in cancer cases. So, yeah, it is really going to impact our health here. But also, I wanted to add that, all of the oil and gas facilities that are new and modified will be addressed. So that goes everywhere from the transfer station to the wells, everything. Yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at is, Ohio is one of the most energy intensive states. It's, it's fourth largest, I think, still in energy usage because of its manufacturing legacy here. But, it's also now engaged in the fracking era and trying to control emissions from that as natural gas is extracted and I'm trying to find out where you feel is there something unique to Ohio or certain areas of Ohio. I'm trying to see if there's some way to explain this to the average resident here in Ohio, how this, how these rules will specifically affect Ohio, in addition to others that are already out there, related to the coal-fired power industry when it comes to reductions in mercury and ozone and other things that have been passed before. This is a new suite of mm-hmm. rules, and I'm just trying to tailor it more to Ohio.
Sure, okay. Sure. Yes. Melanie, would you like to take a crack at that question?
Sure.
For Tom?
Yeah, Tom, so see if we can dive in maybe a little bit deeper for you. So I think, you know, I like to look at this as really low-hanging fruit, something that we can do right now to take a big chunk out of this problem of addressing this problem of climate change. So because methane is a much more potent greenhouse gas, especially in that first 20-year time frame, than carbon dioxide, we can make a real impact both with this standard, and then our hope, of course, is to see the standard to address the existing sources. And the other good news piece of today, which we didn't talk about as much, but is that the US EPA is actually moving into their kind of information gathering stage. Let's see, it's called the information collection request on the existing oil and gas sources. So that's a really critical step needed to carry out, you know, President Obama's commitment on regulating those methane emissions from existing sources. When we talk about, we can give you some numbers specific for Ohio of what this, you know, good solid estimated numbers of both where we've been with methane releases and where we're looking to go. So, you know, we realized and discovered recently that the EPA, federal EPA, you know, has stated they actually had underestimated methane emissions by about 27%. And so in Ohio in 2014, the figure we have is 22,000 tons of methane. And if you do a kind of equivalency for that, that has a climate impact of us driving over 400,000 cars for a year. And then the wasted gas there would be worth over $4 million and would could have provided the annual heating and cooking needs for over 1,300 Ohio homes. I think you can put it for the benefit for Ohio, obviously for all Ohioans, you know, we're already suffering and feeling the impacts of climate change from more severe weather events to, you know, tick populations and Lyme disease, aggravated, you know, algal blooms. And then particularly for Ohioans living in the eastern part of the state and more of these oil and gas developed areas and where we've seen the increase in drilling with the horizontal, you know, shale development, there is a real public health impact there. And people, we have talked to people like Laura said who are suffering health impacts and hearing, you know, those stories, and we can share some of those with you. So I think for eastern Ohioans, it's essential for protecting, you know, children's health, adults' health, you know, the health of pregnant women, and then for all of Ohio and Ohio, we're going to feel we're going to receive these climate benefits. So, and then there's also a worker safety, public health kind of protection angle as well, because we've had some serious incidents regarding methane leaks and accidents, which have resulted in massive methane releases and those VOCs that come along with methane in the last couple of years.
Okay, if you could send me some of those stats, that would be great.
Happy to
and
do it.
And I assume the gist of this is that you all are feeling that, you know, despite what the American Petroleum Institute's putting out and other industry groups, I'm sure the Ohio Oil and Gas Association has something to say about this, that you feel this is not going to bring, is not going to cripple into business or industry and bring things to a standstill.
This is,
this was Peggy Berry. Actually, it shouldn't cripple the industry, but make it more profitable for them, because they're not losing out on that methane that they normally would just burn off into the atmosphere. So for them, I think that truly compliance with these new source standards will make it a safer operation for employees surrounding the production and transport of these gases. And in addition, it will supply them with more methane and gas to sell to the American public. So I don't think it's as crippling as the petroleum industry would have it.
I'm going to ask Melanie to also send you some recent data that's out of Colorado. Colorado has had rules that are very similar to this new source rule in effect for a couple of years, and there's some good data out of Colorado about how their natural gas
production is still going strong, and in fact, industry in the area is in favor. So I'll ask Melanie to send that along with you
okay.
as well.
All right, thanks.
Yes, is there any other question? Are there any other questions?
Yeah, I've got a question. This is Dylan Carr from Richland Source. I just wanted to kind of piggyback on that last question by Tom. How much money will it cost these businesses to comply with the new rules moving forward?
I believe that Joe Holcomb addressed that in his statement.
Yeah, it's 1,000. 1 cent for like 1,000 cubic feet of gas. Something in that neighborhood.
No problem. I'm pretty
1 cent for 1,000 cubic feet. I'm sorry, can you hear me?
We're getting a little bit of background noise. If whoever has background noise in the back could mute their line, please.
Yeah, 1 second. I'm moving. I'm in an open office, so there's a lot of background noise.
Okay.
Yeah, it's less than 1 cent per 1,000 cubic feet of natural gas.
Okay.
Dylan, this is Melanie. I can follow up with that stat as well for you.
And also, you know, when I said that, you know, voluntary fixing of this isn't going to happen, I mean, I can give you numerous instances where leaks occurred in rural areas, not in communities, because in communities, most of the gas companies, they know they have to get that fixed, otherwise, you know, you could blow a house up. But in rural areas, out in the wooded areas and stuff like that, those leaks go on for years and years. I mean, 2-3 years isn't uncommon. I even know a gas well right now that I know has been leaking for 20 years. And nobody's fixed it.
And this might have been said a little earlier, too. Will there be inspections then on maybe a yearly basis?
Sure. I'm sorry, Cheryl, if Melanie had jumping in here and don't mean to step on your toes. I just wanted to note that the another important piece here is the rule actually strengthened from the draft form to the final rule, which isn't always something that happens, and we're very pleased to see again for, you know, going as far as the EPA can on protecting public health and reducing this potent greenhouse gas contributor. So there's going, but one of the ways, significant ways it strengthened was that it will require compressor stations to monitor leaks 4 times a year rather than twice a year. So at least on compressor stations, and then also it's gone a bit further in terms of low production wells. Those will be required to monitor leaks as well, whereas in the draft rule there had been an exception for those.
Okay.
Do we have another question?
Yeah, I've got one more. So we know the ruling applies to new and modified companies within the oil and gas industry. Do we know within how many years for modifications? Like, is it retroactive to a point?
Yes, I believe that it is retroactive and to the date of the initial release of the draft rule, which I believe was last August. So it will cover new and modified sources to that point. Again, and that will cover compressor stations, drill sites, and conveyance lines throughout Ohio and the nation. So, you know, when you see a new permit that's being announced, for the oil and gas industry, those components will be covered. They'll fall under this new source rule, and the leak detection and repair requirements will be valid for those new permitted projects. Wonderful. Okay, thank you so much, everyone, for joining our call today.